This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What's up, kids? Little 30-minute pod for you as we take off for spring break. Wanted to get something out there. Also wanted to thank our very special sponsor, Artisan Financial Strategies. Adam's a great guy and, you know, a huge Seminole. And you guys go check him out, NoelRetirement.com. Really, really bright, really, really helpful. I've said it before, but his email says it all. Yours in service is the way he signs his emails. NoelRetirement.com. He and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies, the best in the business. And you want that kind of security, man. You want that kind of peace of mind that comes with knowing your financial future is well planned out, expertly planned out. And so it is, Tom, that we talk a little bit before we skedaddle for spring break. And I got into a conversation last night about the proper way. I was talking to my buddy, and I said, you know, it's weird because, like we talked about yesterday on the show, I get that they're just, you know, running and jumping, and and you know, it's just calisthenics, and you know, it's hard and it's fun to watch great athletes glide, but you don't want to overstate how impressed you are by that. Or fawn. At the same time, I don't want to like be negative for the sake of being negative. There were a lot of things to be negative about for a long time that were legitimate that you could latch on to. And back in those days, and I think this is the quintessential difference, by the way, this is kind of what I'm getting at. In those days, when the team was really bad, the end of the Jimbo run, obviously Willie Taggart's era, and the start of Mike's era, when the team was bad like that, I would have to try to balance how I talked about the mild improvements we were seeing while still acknowledging that they're not any good. Because you run the risk of being overly negative or overly positive about a product that can't be good. And so you mislead your audience. When you start praising certain players, they start believing that you're on the cusp of something great. Even though in my head I was thinking, they're not close. They're not close. Today we run the risk, and this is what's changed fundamentally, of making them sound as if they cannot be beaten in the upcoming season, that they're so talented that they've graduated to this whole other level that is alongside Georgia annually. And that's yet to be seen. They went 13-0 last year, but they can be better, and they had weaknesses. And they're going to have to be better to go 13-0 this year. There's no doubt about that. The schedule features a road game against Notre Dame. I think that Georgia Tech team's pretty good that they're going to play to start the year. You and I both think that the game in Dallas could be difficult. Yeah. Might be. It's a Super Bowl for them. Miami's better. We know they are. They continue to get better. So you've got some challenges. Obviously, Clemson is going to be angry and will come for blood. So you've got real hurdles this year that maybe didn't exist in some parts of the schedule a year ago. But I just think that the jumping off point is exactly like we said yesterday. They're really good. They just are. They're really talented and they're really deep now. Deeper than they've ever been. Well, deeper than they've been since, you know, going way back to 13 and 14. That they've arrived at that place now. So it's just, it's trying to strike that balance of how do I talk about them realistically.
Well, the hard part about this group is you don't know how they're going to bond together, because there was something extra and intangible about the last two teams. The last two, they liked each other 2 years ago when we remarked on that, and how, you know, there's always going to be something at practice. There's a dust up for competition purposes, but there weren't a whole lot of drama stories or rumors behind the scenes where you're saying, man, I don't know. This guy's got a problem with that guy. We'll see how it plays out on the field, or we'll see how it plays out in the sideline. There really was just a lack of that kind of noise around the program. And that was what was so remarkable to me about the transition from where we were with a cancerous culture. And, you know, Mike Norvell eliminates that cancer, but then we could also arrive at a place where we win 10 games, then you win 13 out of 13, and you do so without like real problems. Like every team, especially in the era of the NIL, is going to have some kind of story here or there, but nothing critical, nothing that could undercut the momentum that you have, the momentum that you've built. And the other part of that is, whenever the offense needed to be good because the defense was struggling, the offense was, vice versa. When the offense was struggling, which was a hell of a lot more than we expected leading into last year, the defense came through. I mean, most notably the finish of the season, but how about Deloach? The play at Clemson. I mean, that team, special teams needed to make a play. A couple of mid-season games where you're in a lull, you get a kick return for a touchdown for a response, or you get a 48-yard or 51-yard field goal for Fitz, or your Mastromano plays out of his mind. Like, Keon Coleman has a big punt return. That team had a knack, an intangible, of being able to step up and pick each other up. One phase picks up another when it's not doing so hot.
Yeah.
There's something to that that is not – just because your culture is in a good place, it doesn't mean that every team can do that. So that's one of the things that I want to see this year is, how mentally tough is this group? How together is this group? And do they have that ability to pick each other up when one side of the ball is struggling? You won't know till we get there in the fall, but we're going to get a good sense in spring. You got a little taste of it yesterday at Tour of Duty, and you get a good taste of it in fall camp as well. Like, how much do these guys like each other? Because while it's not critical to win games, it does help, and I think it helped these past two seasons.
Yeah, I think it helps. I think you're more willing to sacrifice. I think that's the whole thing. It's like that, liking each other, loving each other, bonding in that way leads to more sacrifice. That's the direct correlation. You can still win just by being purely talented, right? If you're Georgia, they had athletes for days. I mean, I think if you took 1 through 22, 1 through 26. And said, you know, how would Florida State have done? I'm talking about with a healthy Jordan Travis. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Florida State holds their own against that Georgia team, and I think they're in the game. I wouldn't have picked us to win the game. I thought Georgia was the best team in the country last year. I still think they're the best team in the country. I think they would have crushed Michigan, by the way. But just as an aside, reminds me of the absurdity of the rankings and how they did what they did. But,
well, and they were capable of losing to Alabama, who was capable of getting beaten by Auburn. Like, the margin is just so much smaller last year. But
yeah,
agreed. I think, you know, the old Dabo-ism, you play that game 5 times or 10 times. Georgia's going to beat Michigan the vast majority of those times.
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah. But it, regardless, I think what we're saying is that the starters and the important backups and role players, about, you know, 26 or so total players, I think Florida State's right there with Georgia. But I don't think it's close after that. I think what Georgia has done in terms of stockpiling talent, it's not close. This is a team that I think will be closer than the team was a year ago in terms of total number of players that could size up and compete. I believe that. That's what's going to be different about this team. But you're also right. Doesn't mean that they'll be as good, because there's a chemistry that's born out of hard work, sacrifice, and having climbed the mountain together. You know, a lot of those guys did. But there's also an infusion of life and a need to prove it and heated competition. So it may balance itself out.
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of the portal specifically is, by nature, you're bringing in a kid who has something to prove. And so you don't have to worry about motivation. Like, they've got a reason. They've got an inherent reason that they're at Florida State, because either there was a failure on their part where they came from, a depth chart that was too crowded, or the access to a championship and access to a better pipeline into the NFL. Like, those things weren't available at the previous destination. For whatever reason it is, when they do get to Tallahassee, there is a motivation that's there. It's not the energy of the 2014 Florida State Seminoles. It's the exact opposite. There's no complacency. It's, I've got to make this work for me now. And that's a great starting place. You can build together. You could build a group together that has a shared goal, because each individual knows that this is it for me. Like, this is a critical moment in my life. That's a great starting point. The thing I would say is, really quickly, to revisit, two seasons ago, I think that team was truly together on a different level, the 10-3 team. Yeah. I think they were still very much together last year, but that two seasons ago, I think there was more camaraderie in that locker room than there was last year. But it's just, when push comes to shove, adversity strikes. If you have that togetherness, you're not saying you're costing us the game. You're saying we can get this done. And there's a big difference in energy when you could feel it in interviews. You could feel it on the sideline. You could see it in body language. The defensive backs are a great example. How many years in a row did you see after a big play was made against us? And oh, there were many, where guys are jumping up and down, stomping on the ground, pointing at each other, blaming each other. It's not my fault. It's your fault. What's your problem? Versus something that's more subdued. Yeah, maybe they're pissed off, but they're not trying to make a show of it. Like, those little things have been eliminated in large part. But there's so many new guys this year, it's hard to see. You know, you don't know yet what it's going to look like. And the last thing is, to your point, I would agree. I think the gap has shrunken, whatever the correct grammatical term is, between Florida State and Georgia in terms of how many players are on that level. I just wonder about the top end. Like, you know, last year Florida State had star power. You know, NFL dudes are going to make a lot of plays on Sundays at the top end of that 26-person discussion. They need to prove that they have that part of it. I think they're deeper, but are at the top end of that balance, are they as talented as they were last year? That's a tall order. It's a tall order.
It's a weird. It's kind of a weird thing for me to say over and over again, but I just feel like this team is going to be more productive on offense. I didn't like the way the offense played last year. There are moments where they have where they score a lot of points and they don't play well. You know, you had a home run hitter in Trey Benson. He was a guy that could break off a miracle run, you know, where you just see something out of nowhere. He shot out of a cannon and 70 yards later, you're on the board. But I guess what I think will happen that's going to be different is that the sustainability of the offense, the drives, you know, the consistency with which you move the ball, I think that's going to be improved because I think you have more the capability of being more balanced than you were a year ago. I also think the offensive line is going to be better. So, you know, those two things. DJ is going to be under a lot of pressure to play well. Obviously, quarterback is always under the most amount of pressure. He does have to throw the ball more accurately than he did at any of his previous stops, more consistently. If he takes that step, I suspect that he will. I think Mike does that for quarterbacks. I just don't see a way that they're not more productive on offense. We just keep forgetting that we really didn't get anything close to a full season of Keon Coleman. I know he was on the team, and I know he made big plays, and we have these moments. You know, the LSU game is incredible. Catches the game winner against Clemson. It's a huge moment, and we had to have it. It's a great catch. But there was no consistency with his play. We'd go back and look at the game logs. There are a lot of games where he doesn't do much. So you didn't get the best version of Keon Coleman because he wasn't healthy. You didn't get the best version of Johnny Wilson for much of the year. He had a lot of injuries, and he also had in the early season games some moments where you're wondering if he's going to catch the ball, but then he caught it great from that point forward. But I don't know, man. You didn't get the best of Jaheim Bell, nothing close to what he could have been because he was hurt. I mean, we've chronicled this a million times, but everybody that could have made your offense electrifying either got hurt or one was hurt while the other was healthy. And then Jordan really didn't run the ball hardly at all, and he had so many opportunities. I don't know, man. I just think this offense is a lot better than it showed a year ago. And I know that if we cherry pick, you can point to some numbers that are really impressive, and you'd say, well, they're going to be a lot better than 15th best in the country, Jeff. They're going to be a lot better in this category where they were 12th best in the country, Jeff. I'm talking about big picture. I think they'll be consistently better game in and game out.
Well, you could talk about maximizing what they are. There's no doubt in my mind with the array of skill position players that they had last year, they should have been a top five offense, a top three offense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
If Mike Norvell wanted to, you know, to press for possessions and things like that, but you could have boiled it down on a per possession basis, points per possession, efficiency, all those types of things. If you assemble that much talent in one room, it should be better than top 15. We expected it to be a top five offense. It was a disappointing offense against our expectations. But the thing I'd say is, if they run block better last year, then you achieve everything that you dream.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Even with the injuries. I still think it's a top five offense if you run block consistently. If you transplant that 2022 offensive line and its ability to block, and I understand some of this is also about, they've got film for a year to stop counter. I get that. But that group was more consistent at the point. You won first down a hell of a lot more 2 years ago than you did last year.
I was tired of being third and five and forever over and over and over again last year.
To me, and the credit of the playmakers and the talent on that offense, they were able to overcome it and hit some pretty astronomical numbers for the entirety of the season before, everybody got hurt in November. November was the month of death.
Yeah.
Trey Benson was about it. Everybody and Darius Washington. Those might be the only two dudes on the entire offense who weren't banged up in some serious way as you got down the stretch in November and into December. But if they can run block this year, then they're going to maximize what they are. What we learned last year and what they've got to do a better job of as an offensive staff is when they break your jab, what do you have? There were times last year where they did not have an answer after that. And that's what
led to, Tom, the frustration. It's funny. That's why you watch games. You watch games because numbers can tell you a lot about what a team's identity is and what they're capable of and what they did over the collection of a bunch of games. But if you watch the games week to week, you really see the ebbs and flows of efficiency or lack thereof. And you see how injuries affect you. And you see how it affects play calling. And you see the strengths of a coach and the weaknesses of a coach. Mike has been a very good offensive mind since arriving in Tallahassee. He was really good at Memphis, too. And we sang his praises when he had to do a lot more with less. He found ways to manufacture offense with a dearth of talent at times. So we went into last year with these ungodly expectations because, as you're pointing out, there was talent everywhere. And when we couldn't run the ball successfully, there didn't seem to be here's what we'll do. And you remember midway through the season, Tom, at one point we were kind of, before we realized just how banged up everybody was week to week, we started saying, well, look, man, stop beating your head against the wall, spread them out five wide and let's go. Remember that? We were like, let's go. Run some tempo. Put these athletes on the field. Spread people out. And chuck it around the lot so that we can start running after you establish it. But he never did it. He never did it. He was just like, we're not going to be able to do this today. Offense is going to be a slog.
Yeah. I remember. We lived it together. It was a little frustrating. But the part of the equation that you learn in time, they were a lot thinner at wide receiver than we expect them to be. There were, injuries that arose before Coleman and Wilson went down. But it's funny to say that when those are your top two guys that you were kind of thin at the position, it's true. They didn't get Ja'Kai back until later in the season, and he ends up making a couple of big plays for Florida State when they're down in depth. There's one in the Pitt game. There's one later on in the season as well. Might have been Miami or Florida, I forget. But, if you're turning to him, that tells you that by definition, Hakeem's banged up and Destin was supposed to be a big player in this rotation. Kentron never was healthy. So they just, rotation-wise, at receiver, they didn't have what they were hoping to have. Vandravius had a cameo in the Pitt game. But, for all that he did in spring, he was not consistent enough to see the field. And that, what an opportunity missed for that young man, because it was there the entire, there was a month of the season where if you could have been consistent, you would have been a freshman phenom, and it never happened. And then
remember, he got his block knocked off in that game too.
He did.
In the middle of the field, yeah.
But Deuce had some problems as well, and then Jaheim's down. It's a combination of all those things. When they were less apt to be able to run the ball than they thought, that staggered them a little bit. And then they got super hurt, and that staggers you a little bit. And all that leads to, that's where in some ways you could argue and say, they were top 15 with all those problems.
Yeah,
they were good. That was a collection of elite playmakers. They just never put it together. If this team puts it together, I don't know what their ceiling would be. 10? Maybe 10 would be the absolute max. And if they had the same season that we just came from, where it's disappointing, what are they, 25, 30? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just you're grading against a curve. I don't think the top end talent is as much. There's not as many bodies who are top end skilled in 2024 like there were in 2023. That doesn't mean they can't be more productive and maximize what they are. And it starts with the offensive line's ability to run block, because you could tell that's how this whole thing goes.
Look out, though. I'll just keep saying it. Akeem Williams is going to be a star. Malik Benson has a chance to be a star. They've got running backs. They've got talent. They've got speed. A lot more speed than last year's team. And that team was not fast at wide receiver. I mean, Johnny Wilson was really fast, but it's still 4.52. It's not 4.3. It's not 4.4. Keon wasn't fast. We didn't most of the guys that are fast didn't play or got hurt.
Right. You couldn't block it up for Trey. You know, that team missed Trayshawn Ward, too. Ward had a way of simplifying when things weren't going right that Benson just didn't.
But Benson was stuck in between.
Yeah. Well, they Trey were trying. You could tell he was thinking. Coach Yak was telling him, you got to do this instead of that. And the funny thing was, I feel like 2022 Benson might have worked better with some of the failures of this offensive line rather than, all right, this is your tunnel. You cannot leave your tunnel version of what they were trying to coach him up to be, because they thought they would be able to block it up. You just hit it and you go. There was nowhere to go. There just wasn't – the second level wasn't open.
It could be they can be a lot better up front. They got some maulers too. The kid they brought in from UF is athletic for his size. He's very athletic. He can move. He's a big kid now. When you see him, you're like, oh, my goodness. But he's athletic. He can move. So it might be interesting to see what kind of offense this team chooses to be, right? I don't know what Mike's going to choose. That spring, we got next week, we're basically off. And that's just the buildup. You know, have fun, everybody. Relax, enjoy your friends and family. Go on spring break, do what you're doing. But then when we get back, we hit the ground running, because spring football is going to be intense. I just think the competitions that we're going to see take place at a lot of position groups are going to be pretty intense. There's a lot of guys that want to play and make a mark, and they're going to have to fight to do it.
So I grabbed this picture to put on our social yesterday of Leonard and Ferguson. So it's on the screen now for you pod listeners. You don't see it, but it's 640 pounds of dude. And you can see, I mean, it's apparent like that. Those look like two gentlemen that are well over 300 pounds running side by side in Richie Leonard and TJ Ferguson from Florida and Alabama. I think I put it in the Renegade Room observations yesterday on warchant.com, but like Leonard's got a gut. But man,
but he can go. Yeah.
He can go. You talk about, I don't want to fall in the trap that I did with Byers last year, but the athleticism is there. It's just a matter of the aptitude. That's the qualifier I've learned from last season is, all right, just because this dude's an athlete doesn't mean that he can play in the scheme and he can hold up the way he needs to. But for bringing in two dudes that are 320 plus, they brought in athletes in Ferguson and Leonard.
I really want to watch. I'm kind of chomping at the bit to watch DJ throw the football. You know, I just want to see that first airing out, that first cannon, that first, you know, this is a 60-yard throw. I want to see that first one where you go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, because that's why they brought the speed in too, man. You're going to get behind some people, and you got a guy that can really send it.
And he's got some strange throws in his arsenal that are excellent. Like, you know, under Jimbo, you could have been a bad quarterback and a great quarterback. What route could you throw? You'd throw the corner on the smash concept. You could throw the hell out of that corner no matter what. And then in this offense, I think the goal is to be able to throw a nine and a deep post pretty well. You know, the seam, that might be about layering the football, but like it's more kind of straight ahead. One of DJ's best throws is either a back shoulder or a comeback to the far side of the field from about 10 to 15 yards.
It's one of those throws that you tell kids with a lesser arm, don't even try to make.
No, it's a pick six waiting to happen unless you've got a howitzer, and he's got one. And he makes it look so easy, because even though it's a gain of 10, it's a 40 to 50 yard throw. It's absurd the distance that it must travel. But he's got anticipation skills to him. He's got skills to read a defense. He can go through a progression post-snap. If he was tricked, he'll come off it. Like, this is why he doesn't throw a ton of interceptions. Cannon for an arm and a good IQ of what he's seeing pre-snap and post-snap. But then the hard part is wide open, hit the guy in stride. We got a touchdown. Oh, crap, it's on the wrong shoulder, and it's either an incompletion or it's a gain of 8 when it could have been a gain of 48. I wonder how they're going to manage that.
The the frustration that that elicits. You'll have your, well, that's rather troubling to, oh, wow, not many people have that throw. That's just like he's going to, I just wonder if they can get to the consistency like you're talking about. Can they get consistency out of him? Because if they can, again, I keep saying look out. I just think they have a lot of options and a lot of weapons and a lot of opportunities to do some big things. I just tend to think those Alabama players are going to be really good players for Florida State. I think, you know, we're talking about all of them, but I think the offensive players are going to be really good. I think they're going to make an impact. I saw his first name is escaping me, the LSU receiver Brown last name.
Jalen.
Jalen Brown, sorry. I saw him look smooth and very fast. I don't know. You're right. Everybody will say, well, but they haven't really done it in games, and you can't know it until you see it in a game. That's true. But you can project. I mean, we're kind of paid to do that, to take a look at somebody and tell you what we think they are going to be. And I think they all project as big-time playmakers. Now, I just have a hard time believing that just because the lights come on, they're going to forget how to play football. To me, they were just buried on depth charts that were littered with elite talent that were veterans. So, you know, and in one case, you had you didn't really have a quarterback at Alabama. So I don't know, man. I tend to think they hit home runs here. That's what I think is going to happen. That's what's going to play out. That's what's going to make us giddy. The step forward that Hakeem Williams takes, perhaps the step forward that Destin Hill takes, and then these guys that they brought in that have a real suddenness to them. And I tell you what, if they find a way to use the Lucas kid, goodness gracious.
Well, we'll see who can block on the perimeter. I was so glad to see in limited reps last year that Hakeem had bought in all the way, because you put that body, I mean, there's a willingness like Johnny Wilson and a body type like that. Nobody's Johnny because they're not 6'6", 6'7", but that can make a difference if you do fire one off to the flat and it's Jalen Lucas and it's Hakeem, two defenders. You get the right leverage, that could be a house call. Little things like that turning into big plays. The other thing I'd say is if they do improve DJ, and if his completion percentage without a bunch of cheapies and checkdowns does climb to 63 or 64%, and the touchdown to interception ratio stays the same, meaning the completion percentage goes up, but the interception percentage stays the same, man, you will then at that point in a span of 3 years have completely changed what Jordan Travis was capable of and DJU, because people will start to point to the coach rather than the player at that point. And Mike Norvell and Tony Tokar's reputation for what they can do for quarterbacks will go into the stratosphere.
Think what they have coming down the pike. Now you've got a Brock Glenn who we like and we think will be a very good quarterback, and a Luke Kromenhawk who has all the tools, and let's see what he becomes. You got a quarterback competition, but you also got a desirous place to land if you're a high school recruit at the most important position. So I really think that there's a chance that Florida State is just going to continue to ascend here. Part of that is what you're describing. The coaching's good. They got to get better in recruiting. But I think if you keep winning, it kind of fixes that in a way. You know, I mean, like, if you have some weaknesses in recruiting, going 13-0 will help you solve those almost by default, you know?
Well, this is how it happens. Now, it's assuming. I'm just going to argue the positive side. A lot of times we hear that we're too negative. I'm telling you, if they do this, and if DJ takes a step to where his numbers look better than they did at Clemson, and he had one good season at Clemson where the numbers across the board look very nice.
Yeah.
But if they do that, it's less, well, Jordan Travis is a remarkable story. You don't typically see a quarterback improve on these traits. They'll take it away from that and say, I don't know what they do in Tallahassee, but Mike Norvell and Tony Tokars are the best at getting the most out of quarterbacks. And that little change in how you describe the way a program works changes everything about what you can do on the trail. It changes everything about what you can do on the trail, because now it's not just about the quarterback. If you're known as a quarterback factory, receivers take note of that. Offensive linemen do, running backs do, because they all want to play with those guys. They already have changed the narrative that you can win here. You can win big here again. And they've also, because of the combine this year, had a reputation now for speed. Like, you know, wow, they really fly at Florida State. Well, you keep going down the line here, your reputation gets to a place
where maybe a group like the Battle's End doesn't have to spend as much because you're the one that you get the discount, not Nick Saban.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that's where this is headed, but the speed and the talent is, but I don't think it's ever going to come on the cheap. I think Ingram and those boys better buckle up.
Well, even for 10, you know what I'm saying? Like Georgia, I don't think Georgia has to pay dollar for dollar what Florida State or Ole Miss or Tennessee do. I don't think they have to, because they can say, you want to make a little bit more money there? You could make a little bit less here and then a crap ton more in the NFL. You could do it that way. Every little morsel helps as you're trying to build this thing.
That's going to wrap it up. We're going to be off for a little while here, guys, during spring break, but we'll be back later in the week next week. I do want to thank our friends at Artisan Financial Strategies. You've heard me talk about them. We know it's important to score in the red zone. If you're prepared for success in the retirement red zone, that's peace of mind. The 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after, those are critical times for thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend, as I've said, fellow Noel, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies, they're prepared to get you across that goal line. Go to NoelRetirement.com. Protect yourself against rising healthcare costs. Make sure you have their planning expertise and their planning experience on your side. That's NoelRetirement, all one word, .com, NoelRetirement.com. All right, Tom, I'll be talking to you, brother. And this was fun. We may have some more audio and videos and pods along the way here and there whenever it strikes us, but we're going to be relaxing for the next week or so.
That's this brand. There's some recruiting stuff coming to warchant.com over the weekend. There may or may not be a smash if I can get some recruiting people on Monday night. There'll be some content next week. It'll be slower, but hey, man, they're hitting the trail, and that's important right now.
We'll get you something. Peace out, everybody.